We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
6:07 on the score. You got Molly and Haley, Barry Rosner sitting in for Mike. We're so glad you're with us today. You just heard the highlights from WSCR, the fine folks at the score. And Joe Maddon talking about the offense going MIA late in that game yesterday. And that meant the Cubs could not win the series, and that was the first in four series that they did not win. NBC Sports Chicago with the highlight as well. Jason Benetti on the call. Carlos Rodon very good, and the White Sox a winner last night over the Cardinals. 312-644-6767 is the telephone number. To the phones we go. Let's check in with our buddy Ron on the south side. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brian. Is that Rosner there with you?
Oh, he's here. He turned on European golf on the TV, so you know he's in the house.
Okay, well, first of all, I just want to say good morning to really two of my favorite people and guys, not just talk show hosts. I have to say that because I mean that, long time score guy, but I have to say just two of my favorite people.
We got to have another boys' night out.
Maybe it might be too
late for that, or we're too old for that, or
how
something.
About tonight?
Okay.
You have to have, bring Barry with us. Good guys, Brian, that was needed after the conversation we had yesterday about the direction that the White Sox were going. But that performance yesterday, because I did tell you the two people I've enjoyed kind of watching was Ronaldo Lopez. So, but that performance last night, very good.
You restore your faith? Are you back? Are you back on board? Yesterday, Barry, Ron was just at wit's end, and he basically was throwing up his hands and didn't think the rebuild's going to work.
It's hard.
It's not going to work in the next couple years.
Hey, Ron, these
say it every Sunday, Barry. Yeah. We know we listen to you every Sunday, but we need something. And you know what? With
you need
Anderson
a cookie. You need a little something.
There you go. Throw us a little cookie, but with Tim Anderson here, a couple of RBIs. If you all remember, those were the two original pieces of the Colts. The rebuild. It was Rodon and Tim Anderson. We know Tim Anderson is still struggling. But yeah, I'll take it, guys. As far as taking calls, certainly you take the calls. But right now, we just want to continue with his progress. He looked good. So, guys, have a wonderful day.
You too, Ron. Always great to have you kick off the show. And
if you're a Sox fan, and there's no bigger one than Ron, it's tough.
Oh, it's tough to stomach.
It's tough. It's painful.
Yep.
And it goes on and on and on. I mean, you're 3 months into the second year. Don't make me read to you the Cubs roster from the second year of their rebuild. I mean, I occasionally will do it on Hit and Run just to lend some perspective.
It was unpalatable.
It's I mean, much worse than you could even imagine.
Because the guys up there.
I mean, it's Anthony Rizzo.
And then
that's it.
And a bunch of guys filling the uniform, right? I mean, it was just a bunch of guys. But that's the frustrating part for Sox fans, because there are a handful of guys here that are supposed to be part of the thing moving forward. It's not just one guy. There's, you know, Anderson, if you include him in that group, already been paid, but that's one of the – certainly Mankata. Now, last night, Mankata –
they're still young players figuring it out, but they're figuring it out at the big league level, which is no picnic.
No, it's no picnic, but that was the thing. When I was watching the Cubs at the lowest, right, I knew that, you know, it didn't matter because these guys were not going to be here if and when they got good. But it didn't make it any easier to stomach two or three innings of a game, let alone a full game.
Brian, I was working opening day somebody didn't show up for work, whatever, so I was filling in. And I work an opening day on this station, and I specifically remember somebody saying to me, you know, the Cubs are going to have to spend money after this season. That was opening day of the second year.
Right.
That was day one of year two.
Blow up the plan.
I mean, that's how quickly people are ready to abandon what's happening and move on. That's how quickly it happens. Now, I don't blame you. I don't blame anybody. Because it's not pleasant to watch most of the time, and it's painful, and it just I mean, look, this is year two. You got a couple more pretty ugly years coming.
Hey, you got
after
the rest
this
of this one. I mean,
well, for sure, this one. And depending on injuries, and obviously there have been a lot of injuries with a lot of really important guys this year, and that's you know, that sets your process back. There's no promises with this thing. I would just say this, when you think back to all the really bad years that you've watched where you thought they were going to be good or they went all in or they were just piecing it together or keeping an old team here on that field and trying to add a little of this, a
Trading
little of that
Jake
without
Peavy, yeah.
without much money right. to spend. You know, it. How do all those things go?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the people who hated the Cubs rebuild, who said it'll never work, who said it's a disaster, it's a failure, and a terrible idea. Well, how'd you like the 100 and, you know, whatever, 3 years before that? Is that working out pretty good for you? So I feel for Ron. And I feel for White Sox fans because it's
tough to sit in front of the TV or go to the ballpark.
Some days really brutal. And some days you get Carlos Rodon,
yep.
like you did last night. And some days you get really good Tim Anderson. And frankly, for the last 6 weeks, Tim Anderson's been pretty good in the field and at the plate. Better than he had been before that. And some days you get bad Tim Anderson. Some days you get good Moncada. Some days you get
some
bad.
Some innings you get good Moncada. Seriously.
Yes. Well, yesterday's an example of that.
Sometimes he's not busting his tail down the line. Other times he's taking a ball to the gap and running as hard as he can to third.
And yesterday he's getting doubled off because I don't actually know why, to
there
tell you the truth. Because I have no explanation for where he was going on that one. But that happened yesterday, as did the ball off the glove. But that's also a really hard hit ball, so... I don't know. Look, they're young players. This is not easy to do at the big league level, and your patience is absolutely necessary, although I understand how it is also tested.
Don is in Burr Ridge. Good morning, Don.
Hey, I don't feel sorry for Sox fans at all. I'm a Cub fan, but I like the Sox. I'm ecstatic what the Sox are doing. I would rather have them sit there and say, okay, we're going to tear it down, we're going to be a horrible team for 2-3 years and have a much better chance to compete.
Well, that's the thing. It's still a chance.
If they win 75 to 85 games,
yeah.
Who cares about that?
Right.
You want a World Series. That's the bottom line.
Right. And Don, but just the words you said there, to have a chance. There's no guarantee. You pick the lane and everyone's behind it, yeah. And Sox Fest, everyone's patting Rick Hahn on the back and saying, we're all here and we're right behind you on this, and then the games actually start. And then you get into mid-July, and Southside Ron's going, I can't watch. I mean, I can't watch another 7-run inning or 10-run loss or 3 more errors by the same 2 guys. That's when it gets tough. In winter, it's like, yeah, you know what? That sounds like a plan. We're all for it because 3 years from now, hopefully, we're winning a division and or a World Series. But just because, you know, how many teams have picked that lane now, and they don't all turn out to be Houston and the Cubs, and you know, it's you know, here's hoping. Now, yesterday we had guys saying, I don't have any faith in the architect. I don't believe in Rick Hahn and his staff. If that's the case, then the other stuff, you know.
Yeah, I would just ask you, what is that based on?
Yeah.
Like, what's his track record?
Well, the Sox fan, I think he called yesterday and said, you know, here's what the Cubs did. They picked a lane because they went out and got the best guy available. He hadn't been here for 20 years, 30 years, whatever it's been. So if you're going to do that, do it with somebody who has fresh eyes, a fresh approach, has not been in the building and been in the organization forever, and then you have more faith that everything is different, right? It's not the same people making different trades or drafting different people.
But I don't think you can make any sort of assumption that Rick Hahn is incapable of doing this when he's never had the opportunity to do this. This has always been it's always been Kenny Williams and Jerry Reinsdorf trying to go for it every single year. And that's not a criticism of those guys. And I don't think they should be criticized for that. But it wasn't working anymore, and there wasn't enough payroll to support the kind of program they were running. It wasn't Rick Hahn doing that. And now Rick Hahn's been given the opportunity to go ahead and rip it down and rebuild it. And you don't have any idea whether he's going to be good enough to do this or not. There's not a lot of Theo Epstein's out there.
No, that's the other part of the equation.
He's also making $10 million a year.
Well, there's that. He's earned it.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, every penny of it.
Yeah.
But those guys are not easy to find. How many guys, I mean, you have, you know, it's been done now in Chicago.
I mean, the timing worked out perfectly for Tom Ricketts, right? I mean, when the soap opera was going down in Boston.
It's a complete accident. Look,
right. Just like when Joe Madden's contract had a clause that made him available, right?
You kept Jim Hendry too long. You made some other ridiculous mistakes in the front office, but that led to a terrible summer, and that led to finally the cleaning house. And at the same time, Terry Francona gets fired. If Terry Francona doesn't get fired, Theo Epstein's not leaving Boston. He said it the first day he got here. He said it. I asked him that day, day one, in that first press conference. Not leaving. Not leaving Boston if Terry Francona isn't fired. Mm-hmm. So there's some real good fortune involved here, too.
A little luck goes a long way.
Same thing with Joe Maddon being available. Joe has his faults. One of them being how you manage a pitching staff in the postseason. But if there's 20 things a manager has to be good at, he's good at about 18 of them.
312-644-6767 is the number. If you want to join the conversation, jump on in. 6711 if you want to shoot us a text. Time to say good morning to Jill Urchuk. Hey, Jill.
Hey, good morning. It is busy on the inbound Kennedy. Traffic sponsored by Four Winds Casino. It's 30 minutes heading in from the airport. 14 for Montrose, 8 in the Express on the Edens, 22 Lake Hook Road in. Eisenhower also solid, 45-390 in, about 30 as you head in from Wolf Road. Stevenson, 38 Veterans in, 28 from the Tri-State. The Dan Ryan, 25. 5 minutes, 95th Street on in. Four Winds Casinos located in Southwest Michigan and South Bend, Indiana, for gaming, for dining, for entertainment. Four Winds Casinos, your entertainment escape. You're listening to 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks, Jill. This segment was brought to you by Hotels.com. With Hotels.com, get rewarded from seaside cabins to resorts. For every 10 nights you stay, you get one free. Hotels.com, you do you and get rewarded. Free nights don't include taxes and fees.
626, you got Molly and Haley on the score. Thanks for being with us. And we were talking about the great performance of Carlos Rodon against the Cardinals yesterday. And a nice win for the Chicago White Sox. Nice outing by hopefully the front of the rotation, Carlos Rodon, moving forward here. But interesting, the Cardinals in town, and Moncada hits the triple off of Jordan Hicks, who on that particular pitch, the clock said 102.
Yeah, the gun had him as high as 104.
Yeah, but on the triple that he took into the gap, it was 102, so it's pretty impressive when you see that. But interesting also because Jordan Hicks is the one of the subjects of a story by Mark Saxon, talking about how Mike Matheny runs his team, and talking about the dynamic of the bullpen of the St. Louis Cardinals, and kind of takes into account what we've seen with some of the Mancada in particular and some of the younger players with the Sox when they're not doing everything you expect young players to do in terms of focus. And you've heard Rick Renteria talk about the focus needs to be there on each and every play, and it's not there. And it has to be better, and we've seen him take guys out of games because they didn't hustle down to first base or they booted one too many balls or whatever it happens to be. And how you kind of create a culture of winning even when you're losing on a regular, almost nightly basis. But this is an interesting story because you have 33-year-old Bud Norris in the bullpen. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have the 21-year-old Jordan Hicks. And apparently Jordan Hicks has his own, it's not Tom Coughlin time, where if you're early on time, if you're on time, you're late. If you're late, don't even bother. Apparently, Jordan Hicks has his own way of going about his business. And since spring training, he has come to meetings late or missed them. He's not doing everything expected of a young guy who you think would be towing the line so early in his career. But when you throw 102 to 104 to 105, you think you figured it all out. And He didn't even go to double A or triple A. He went from single A right up to the big club, right? So he's feeling pretty good about himself that he belongs and he doesn't need some old guy telling him how to go about his business or prepare for the game. And Mike Matheny goes to the extreme of letting Bud Norris, 33-year-old Bud Norris, old school guy who wants to get in these young guys' ears and tell them, no, you better be on time for this, you better do this, you better do that. But not only that he goes to the manager and gives a report on the bullpen. And singles guys out and basically gives up-to-date report cards on all the guys and names them. And Mike Matheny takes that and turns around and sometimes will fine said players because Bud Norris's evaluation of what they did or didn't do that week. Now, I mean, in the corporate world, you have department managers. I get all that and everything else. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it's a fine line between trying to get a culture of winning and reinforcing that. And letting kind of the inmates run the asylum, right? You're the manager, and you're going to let one guy. No, we're not doing that. So my question is, how do you go about that? How do you go about running a show like Rick Renteria? Do you let guys who are more veteran on the team have that much say in the thing?
I've never heard of such a thing, honestly, before. I mean, it is important to have veteran leadership in a clubhouse, whether it's a team capable of winning a World Series or a team that's rebuilding or something in between. You got to have guys in there who know how you're supposed to do things. And there's no metric for it, okay? But when you first get to the big leagues, there's an awful lot to learn. The learning curve is steep, and there's an awful lot that you go through. And veteran guys can help you navigate that and help you avoid the mistakes that they made. I mean, there's great value in that. Sometimes it's practical stuff on the field. Sometimes it's clubhouse stuff. Sometimes it's off the field. Sometimes it's things you shouldn't be doing late at night, whatever it is. There can be great value in that. But this sort of thing, and I mean, I've seen great veteran leadership in baseball.
Oh, absolutely.
Clubhouses.
You've been around it forever.
And some of them quiet guys who led by example, some of them loud guys, some of them physical, some of them who threw guys in a locker because it was necessary to turn around a season because a guy wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. But I've never heard of something like this.
You know what it reminded me of, Barry? Yeah, covering the Bulls when Jim Boylan had taken over for Scott Skiles, who was fired on Christmas Eve. Jim Boylan did not have, let's say, good control of that team. He suspended Joakim Noah for violating team rules. And Adrian Griffin and one other, who I'm trying to remember, two guys basically voted to make the suspension two games instead of one. And Jim Boylan went along with it.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, unacceptable, unacceptable. You're in charge. You know, Joe has 5 and 25. Joe has 5 years, 25 yeah. million. That's a lot of leadership right there. You know, you remember when he yanked Jason Hamill in that game against San Francisco, his first year here, first week of August, as they're taking them down for the wild card? There's a veteran manager and a veteran pitcher. And the guy with 5 and 25 has the ability to pull that guy out of a lineup, I mean, out of a game, and Jason Hamill doesn't say a word. Because Joe was in the first year of 5 and 25.
Yeah, there's a commitment.
If that had been Rick Renteria, Jason Hamill would have been screaming like James Shields did last week when he was yelling about being taken out of a game. Jason Hamill didn't do that because Jason Hamill understood the score. Now, you also have to have not just the years and the money, but also the personality that lets the guy know, look, we may goof around and stuff, but understand, and Terry Francona is like this, understand, I am the boss, okay? Just so we're clear, let's not make that mistake, Mike Quadi.
Yeah.
With your, you know, with you know, he said, they all said he's one of us. Well, that's no good.
No,
that's no good. You can't be one of us. No. You're in charge. So there's that aspect to it. Then you have guys in the room who have to do some of that as well. This seems to be way beyond that.
I mean, fine.
And let me tell you something. This has nothing to do with, you know, whether you're 15 or 25 or 55. The fact is today's players are coming out of a different way of life because they've been coddled since they were the best player on their travel team, and they expect to be treated a different way. You can't do some of the things today to these guys that you were doing 10 and 20 and 30 years ago. And this particular idea is frankly shocking to me.
Yeah, I want to get your take on it because you've seen a lot of guys do it a lot of different ways over the years, and I get the new generation may be, in fact, the new...
You know what this is? This is a great way to lose a player.
Yeah.
This is a great way to lose a guy. This is a great way to lose a really good, young, talented guy with an enormous upside. It's a great way to lose him. It's a great way for him. I'm not playing for these guys. I want out of here. This is brutal.
312-644-6767 is a number. If you want to weigh in on how you handle a rebuild and fine line between getting guys up and running and dealing with the losing and then dealing with the different personalities that are involved, you can see, some guys on one end of the career and the other guys just beginning. 312-644-6767, time to check in with Kevin Zipak. To the phones we go, 312-644-6767. Barry Rosner sitting in today for Mike, who's on vacation. Let's check in with Matt. He's in Nashville. Good morning, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Have you seen Jay down there? Have you seen, are you going to be doing a cameo on Barry Cavallari?
Well, you know, it's tough to get into the business down here, but, you know, I could be a cameo in anything.
Yeah, well, you at least walk into her store. Is it open yet? She's opening her store down there in Nashville, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't think I'll frequent it. That's all right.
You don't need women's shoes and handbags?
No, I don't think so.
All right.
Hey, but on the manager that's letting his veteran players kind of do the fine assessment and things like that, you know, if I were an assistant coach, especially a bullpen coach, I'd take that as a vote of no confidence for me. You know, that's their job. They need to be doing that kind of stuff. The, you know, bullpen coaches, the bench coaches, they need to be stepping up and doing that kind of stuff, not your veteran players. Your veteran players can be given the, advice and telling you, hey, you don't do this, you don't do that. But assessing fines and going so far as to making a little black book type of thing.
Yeah,
that's just crazy.
Great point, Matt. It is interesting. I mean, you're skipping over some layers of management there, right? With the pitching coach and the bullpen coach and all the older guys' eyes who are supposed to be on the situation. Now, I get it. You know, players know more intimately what other players are doing or not doing. But to have like a regular sit down with the manager and bring your little list in and say, you know, on Wednesday, Jordan, you know, He didn't really finish his side session. I don't know what's going on there.
You know, in a perfect world, you have veteran leadership that polices the clubhouse, polices the bullpen, polices the starting staff. You know, and polices is really kind of a strong word because
sure.
It doesn't have to be that. It can just, you know, believe me, if you got a guy like John Lester in that rotation and you had some younger guys, which you don't in this rotation, he'd be making sure these guys are doing their work. And it probably wouldn't have to go to a pitching coach. It probably wouldn't have to go to a manager. It probably wouldn't have to go to anybody else on staff at all. Guys like, because guys want to win.
Sure.
See, that's what it's about.
Yeah, ultimately,
That's what it's about is guys want to win. Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Now, maybe you just don't know because you're new here. Maybe you've never been taught. Maybe you come from another organization where they don't do things right. Well, this is how we do things here.
Or maybe
this
think is how I throw 100, 200, and 3, and that's all I have to do. Right. I don't have to show up for a meeting.
And you know, perhaps you're unaware of what your responsibilities are in this job. In a perfect world, you have guys in a clubhouse who take care of that kind of stuff. If you don't, then that's going to be a lot more work for a coaching staff and for a manager. But a manager doesn't ever want to have that conversation.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. But, you know, we're also living in a different time now where guys who are coming up at 19 or 20 or 21 or 22, not a lot of experience, you know, in college or in the minor leagues, not a lot of failure, not too much failure yet when they get here. And they're going to be,
and they have a lot of money already in the bank.
Probably signed for a pretty big bonus.
Right.
So, I mean, you're dealing with a little bit of a different sort of animal here in that the young guys, they haven't been pushed around very much. And, you need guys on a roster to go ahead and let them know that you're professional now and this is the way you need to do things. But having a player keep a book on you the manager doesn't even want to know.
Right.
He doesn't even, you know, most managers, they don't. You know, if I got a guy who's dealing with this,
then
great.
Deal with it.
I don't even want to know. Plausible deniability, by the way, in some cases, especially if it's off the field. Plausible deniability. They love that there are other veterans taking care of that stuff. But keeping a book and passing it on to the manager, that's kind of disgusting.
It's kind of disgusting, and it's not like the young players are unaware of what's going on, because when Hicks was asked about it, you know, and whether this is a good thing or not, he said, I'm not going to comment on that. I mean, he knows who's going in there, and he knows why he's writing a check or, you know, forking money over to the team.
Now you need another veteran who's got to get in Hicks here and tell him, look, I don't know how long this guy's going to be around. I don't know how long this manager is going to be here. I don't know how long Norris is going to be here. Just don't say anything. Just, you know, keep it to yourself. Try to do your job. Try to do it well. And this too shall pass. This is not because if he comes out, I mean, and says what he thinks, how's that going to benefit him?
Right. And Mike Matheny said, well, this game has progressively gotten a little softer. Man, it had some teeth that not that long ago. He goes, I get regular updates, but that's good. I invited him into that. We need leadership with each subculture of the team, including the bullpen, and he's keeping an eye. He's a stickler for what we established early on. So no one's denying that this is exactly what's been going on. But I mean, I've never heard to that extreme where, you know, a guy on a regular basis sits down with the manager and says, you know, this on Tuesday, this wasn't very good. I don't know what you want to find him on that one, but we need to take some money out of his pocket.
Well, that's what the world needs is more middle management.
John's in Rolling Meadows.
Morning, guys.
Hey, John, how are you?
You know, I was the captain on a few teams, and my job as a captain was to try to keep things clean and orderly with the ball club, and if there was a problem, to take the guy off to the side, maybe after practice or something, and go, you know what, you're doing a great job, but in practice you're goofing off a little bit too much. You know, how you practice is how you play, so let's try to tighten it up a little bit, and we'll be fine. You know, that's what the manager would tell me when he made me the captain was, it's your job to kind of police the team, keep it together. You know, it's not only during games, John, it's during practice. It's, you know,
and your teammates hopefully have enough respect for you that when you do say something to them. Yeah, right.
That's how it's supposed to work. I was always good about it.
Yeah.
I didn't climb on them. I would just explain things to them.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call.
Well, the message from a player is much better than a message from someone who's in a position of authority. It resonates. Plus, if you respect that person, then you're much more likely to receive it.
Well, absolutely.
In proper context and with the proper intention. And most thing about baseball players is really all they demand from you is professionalism. There's a degree of professionalism that they want. And there's obviously a lot of qualities that go into that. But they demand that you approach your job with a seriousness in preparation. Not with a seriousness at all times.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be 24/7.
No,
it's baseball.
No, they definitely go have fun. But your preparation should be serious. You should always have an idea of what's going to happen every minute on the field in every part of the game, and you should know that going into the game. You should always be prepared.
So when does that click?
And if that's not taking place, then that's definitely going to be addressed by other players on the team. And if you don't have that on a team, then you need that on a team.
So, you know, you even saw pretty well into Starlin Castro's career. You had, you know, Bobby Valentine circling him with the mid-game. And you also have Mankata doing it inning to inning. He looks dialed in one inning, and next inning looks like he's, you know, 1,000 miles away. How do you know when that's just the guy? When that it's not, the light bulb's never going on full time, and that there will be lapses, and you have to judge whether the talent is good enough to supersede all the stuff you have to put up with them.
I can't put a clock on that for you. I just know that that's something that's a learned behavior. I mean, it doesn't have to be it's innate for some guys.
Sure.
I mean, I've known plenty of players who never took a pitch off, who on every pitch knew the situation and understood what was going to happen. If the ball's hit to me here, what is my job? Or if I'm on the bases and the ball is hit in any of these places, where are the outfielders? Where are the infielders? What is my job? That can be learned, though. So that doesn't mean that he's a lost cause, because you see some of that now. As for when you say he's going to be great or he's not going to be great, I can't answer that question.
Yeah.
He's a very, very talented player. Relatively raw in some ways, with a long way to go to be great. And guess what? That's the way it is for most guys when they get here. Some of the lapses that you talk about are unacceptable. So how do you go about addressing those? Well, there's only, you know, you only have so many opportunities. There's only so many bullets. You can't pull a guy off the field every day.
Right, because that just becomes...
Right, that will lose its value as well. But it has to be addressed every time that it happens, and I would assume that it is. I would assume that it is being addressed every time that it happens.
Yeah, from what I've seen, Rick Renteria is on top of it, it must get frustrating for him that he feels like he has to be on top of it as much as he has been.
Well, and I think what he understands is this is a very raw talent with superstar potential, which has a long way to go. And there's going to be a lot of that. If he's going to be here, and I understand those who wonder if when they're actually a winning organization, will he be? I get that. You know, the whole Cub thing could happen to him again. Could happen again. But if he's going to be here for the next 3 years, there's going to be a lot more of that sort of thing taking place.
Yeah, I know that, you know, a lot of people say Joe Girardi, you better go get him while he's on the sideline, because maybe if he's going to get back into it, he'll be back into it next year.
Yeah, but he's not doing that. He's not coming here next year.
Right.
He's not coming here to win, to lose 100 games.
Right.
If he gets back into it, and I have some doubts about that as far as his quality of life at the moment and where his family is and how happy he is where he is. But if he's going to do it, it's going to be in a winning situation. He's not walking into a 100 loss team.
Yeah, and but I mean, if he's walking into that winning team next year, if he is more likely to lose the itch 2 years from now than next year. Like if he's still somewhere in the back of his mind saying, I might, you know, I still got to scratch it. I got to be a manager yet again. And if you're the White Sox, do you have to go give him that sales pitch if you think he's the guy? Whether you're going to lose 80 or 100 games next year or whatever it's going to be, or you're going to contend. I mean, he's going to be off the market 2 years from now, right? Or he's never coming back.
Oh, no, he will manage again. He's a very competitive guy. I'm just saying, you know, the notion that he's going to run from New York where he lives now,
right,
where his family is happy, immediately, I think is just, I just...
And what was he making at the Yankees? $8 million? Some.
What was he making? I think it was five
at least. Right
at the end, I think he was among the highest paid at around five. But it will cost more than that to get him again because those numbers are going up.
And that's not something the Sox would normally sign on to.
Well, I just, you know, I don't know that. I mean, if you're thinking specifically of Girardi, first of all, I don't think Renteria is going anywhere in the near future. I'm talking about if you're looking to 3 years from now, could the same thing happen to him? I don't know why I'm laughing. You got a feel for the guy.
Right.
Could the same thing happen to him? That
sure
happened?
Could.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure could.
Yeah, that could happen again.
We're going to run some of these questions by Ozzie Guillen. Ask him about how he, in a perfect world, how he operated his clubhouse and which, you know, how much leeway he gave his veteran players to police said clubhouse. And ask him about a lot of things with the Cubs and White Sox. Talk all things baseball with Ozzie in just a few on Chicago Sports Radio. 6-7 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.